Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And just when you thought this program couldn't get any worse, I go ahead and outdo myself. This is Wretched Radio. I grant you this is going to be a little hoofda, but I would like to challenge you to hang in there because I think it is going to make a point that will encourage you, that you will be strengthened in your commitment to Scripture and the veracity of the Bible, that this thing is worthy of my life. I can stake my life on this book. Perhaps you've talked to an atheist and you've asked them why they don't believe in the Bible, and they say something we should always challenge. I've heard Bill Maher say this a number of times. Oh, I've read the Bible. Really? You read every verse in Leviticus, Bill? Serious? Most people haven't. They maybe flopped it open. You know, they put it on its binder, let it fall open, and they read something and go, I don't get it, but I read the Bible. No, you really didn't. They don't even go that deep, let alone to the depth that is staggering in Christian academia. I'm holding a book titled Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. If you don't know Greek, I probably wouldn't encourage you to rush out and get it, because basically it tackles the important Greek words in the Bible. And I went to look up the word mystery. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but preaching through 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church. Jimmy, did I mention 1 Peter?
Yeah, I think so.
And Peter talks about, he doesn't use the word mystery, but he alludes to it, that the Old Testament's prophets, they search the Scriptures trying to figure it out. And Paul uses the term mystery a couple dozen times. The Old Testament saints, they knew that the Messiah would suffer. They did know that. They knew that the Messiah would also be glorified. 1 Peter 1:10-12. That he would suffer and be glorified. They got that, but they didn't know who and they didn't know when. And they searched the Scriptures intently to figure it out. They wanted to know. And by the way, this is something that we brought out in the sermon on Sunday. Let me just the importance of context. Not only when you're reading the Bible, but when you're hearing the Bible preached. This happens, in my estimation, all too often when it comes to expository preaching. When somebody goes verse by verse through a book in the Bible, they tend to take a chunk. Here's the chunk. Here's the chunk. This is what it teaches. Here's the chunk. Here's the chunk. Well, if you do that with 1 Peter, you're probably going to gloss over these three verses because they just kind of go, what? What are they doing here? All right. So we remember context. 1 Peter, what is it about? He's writing to suffering saints in Turkey, probably from Rome. He knows they're suffering various trials, fiery trials, tribulations, distresses, all of the things that hit a Christian when the Christian is behaving righteously, and he's trying to encourage them to be sanctified, to be submissive, and to suffer well. And he consistently returns to the foundation that we need in order to be able to suffer and to be sanctified and to be submissive, and that is the gospel. And so he starts out the gospel by saying, hey, you're an elect sojourner. Then he talks about our Trinitarian salvation. Then he talks about our living hope. Then he talks about all of the blessings, how your faith is strengthened to love Jesus more and to long to see him more because of suffering. And then this. Now, that's what he was reading. Now, this comes up. So now it's Sunday morning. You're in church. And the pastor gets up and says, our text this morning is 1 Peter 1. Verses 10 through 12. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look into. What is that doing there? I mean, what is that? The Old Testament prophets and the angels, and why is that there? Context. What is he doing? He's hearkening back again to the graces that you have been given. I called it the privileges that you've received for being a Christian. Remember that, so that you will be encouraged in times of suffering, so that you can press on in sanctification, so that you can be more submissive as a Christian. That's what it's doing. If you don't have that context, that's like, what in the world is that talking about? And so the encouragement of Peter is that the Old Testament prophets were serving you, that you have more privileges than Moses, than Isaiah, than King David. You have more privileges than the disciples. Why? Because you know the whole story. You've got the complete revelation. You know everything, including the future, because we have the book of Revelation. Why is that in there? He's trying to encourage you. Stand firm. Don't shrink back. Press on. Don't give up. Rejoice greatly. Why? Because you have so many privileges. Without context, that would be preached with such a mess. I can't even imagine. What's the point? Every text needs to answer that question. Why did the author put that here? Why is it in now? And the answer in our particular text is because Peter wants to keep encouraging Christians, because immediately then he's going to tell them to, hey, be ready for action, be sober, get ready for spiritual warfare here. And he uses the privileges that he articulates in those three verses to do just that. And the word mystery, while it is not in there, it is a biblical term that the gospel, if you will, it was a mystery to the Old Testament saints. And so as I was doing research, I went to a book titled Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. And I looked up the word mystery, and I was reminded again, the academics behind Christianity. This you may not be able to use this with when an atheist or an agnostic says, well, I've studied Christianity. It'll almost make you feel bad for them because they have no idea what there is to study. They just have no idea how much is there. And I hope that in reading some of this, you're going to go, whoa. This book that I hold in my, it's 1,125 pages. 1,125 pages. It's volume 4 out of 10. That's like over 10,000 pages explaining key Greek words. 10,000 pages. Is Christianity well-researched? Is Christianity a religion that just has no ability to defend itself because no smart people actually believe in it? Listen to this word being explained. I can't do all of it. It's 25 pages and it's really small print and it's a lot of Greek. Nevertheless, here's the word. Mysterion. Mia-o. Contents, etymology. So it's just going to tell you, here's this will do. This won't be too painful. These are the subjects that he covers inside of this chapter on this one word. The etymology, the mysteries in the Greek world and Hellenism, the cultic concept of mysteries, the mysteries in philosophy, the mysteries in magic, the mysteries in secular usage, the mysteries in Gnosticism, Mysterion in the Septuagint, Apocalyptic and Rabbinic Judaism, Mysterion in the New Testament, the mystery of the divine lordship, the mystery of Christ, the general use of Mysterion in Paul and the rest of the New Testament, Mysterion in the early church, the post-apostolic fathers, apologetic, Alexandrian theology, Mysteria as a term for the sacraments, Mysterion and Sacramentum. Okay, those were just the titles of the chapter headings. That doesn't include everything inside of them. And it breaks each one of those things down so that whoever the person is that wants to study the word mystery, or whoever is preaching on the subject of the mystery, that they can do that sort of background work inside of it. That is just a taste of smarts that has gone into showing, this is why Christianity endures. There's no religion that has this much academic heft behind it. Doesn't even, nothing comes close. Not even Jewish literature. Christianity has been studied. It has been defended. It has been assaulted. It has been plumbed. And guess what? We're still not at the bottom. We can write another 10,000-page book series dealing with even more Greek words or more theological truths. In other words, to the individual who says, well, Chris, I've tried it, I've checked it out, I've read it, and now you know, they haven't even sort of, and they're just lost. And their mind is just darkened. And I feel pretty confident in saying this. You can read to them what I just read to you, and it's not going to make a dent. So what do you need to do to overcome that obstacle? Well, you can show them 10,000 pages of academia, and you can take them into Christian libraries where it's just bookshelf after bookshelf of treatments of the Christian faith. It's not going to convert them. Won't do the job. That requires the gospel. But if you ever have to defend it or just plain feel sorry for atheists who think that they know Christianity, well, here's to Mysterion. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God Himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine, but somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten, and we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought, it's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary, and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature, and His wrath has been settled on the cross.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rest, Jimmy. Rest. This is Wretched Radio. How you doing in there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That? Okay.
I think you're about to make my point. I just brought the book that I wish, what is it? Theology, whatever it's called. What's it? Purple colored book.
The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's not every Greek word. It's just a lot of the big words. It's a over 10, probably about 12,000 page, basically an exploration of the etymology of Greek words, how they're used in different contexts, the shadings of meanings, how the term has been changed and redefined over the centuries, so that you don't commit a time fallacy and bring the wrong meaning into the wrong era. And it is a book, it is an academic book, and I wanted to share a little bit of it just to show this faith that you believe in. It's got lots of smarts behind it. And these silly accusers and social medias, I can't in the moment think of one who's really serious. I know there are some that are popular that seem to be able to get a bunch of views, but that doesn't mean that they've really studied Christianity. So I brought the book into Jimmy's office. And it's on the word mystery. And I think I brought it to the mystery of Christ.
Yes.
And that was, what, 2-3 minutes ago. And I said, just go ahead and start reading. How'd you do?
Well, I mean, I did okay until I hit the Greek words.
No, you got to know Greek too.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Other than that, though, it's like,
yeah.
Hoofda. Think even of the concordance, Mr. Strong, who put it together. Every word in the Bible is cataloged with a number. And then we've also got dictionaries to define those words and the semantic range and how they're used and which tenses or which cases they're in. The Christian faith is far more studied. It is, and these are people who are clearly brilliant. They believe it. Now, the ultimate reason you should believe the Bible is because of the Bible. But if you ever get wobbly kneed because, well, these people, they say stuff about Christianity without being like dismissive, while being dismissive, they don't know what they're talking about. They just don't know what they are talking about. The Bible is more than defensible. It's entirely reliable. Jimmy, anything special you'd like to share from that?
Yeah, God has a plan.
Yeah, the mystery.
It is a mystery.
Yeah.
But it looks foolish to the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mystery.
That was 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. That wasn't from that book.
I think it was.
All right, I want to hear it on my end. Read a sentence or two. This is about the word mystery, the mystery of Christ revealed. They didn't quite fully understand it in the Old Testament, but boom, there's Jesus. And it's like, now we get it. Here's the gospel. Here's the inclusion of the Gentiles. Here's this new entity called the church. This is mystery. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, I'm going to skip over the Greek terms because I don't think I can pronounce them.
You could have made them up. And
in the Pauline corpus, the term is firmly connected with, is that mystery? The mystery
Mysterian,
of Christ? Yeah. With the mystery of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, the reference to the community. So many Greek words.
It's not just the Greek words. It's hard.
Yes.
Okay. That's my point.
Yeah.
Christianity is believable because of the Bible, but it is also defensible because academia has done more than enough to prove. We've studied it, my atheist friends. Really, we're not idiots. In fact, if you make the claim that you've studied it and you don't know the word mysterion, then you really haven't studied it. All right, Jimmy, I've got some news from the knock you over from a fit with a... Let me try that again. Got some news from the knock you over with a feather. File.
Okay.
I think that's what I meant to say. You're not going to be shocked at this one. A big study was done. This is an 80,000 people analysis. People who said that they have anxiety or depression, and the DSM, they can define it whatever they want to. These people are feeling blue. What works for these people? And the answer, to nobody's surprise, is not psychotropics. Here's the headline. Aerobic exercise proves just as effective, it's actually more effective than antidepressants. Well, well, wonder what Greg's going to talk about on his program this week. You don't listen to Greg Gifford's podcast. I encourage you to do so. It is aces. He is so good. And he is on this subject about psychotropics. His book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, tackles it head on. It will help you to sort, what are we supposed to do with this diagnosis? And they gave us a prescription. Should we take it? Should we give it to our kids? What do we do? Read Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. It will help you. And consider this very large study that concluded, exercise reduced depression symptoms with an effect comparable to, and in some cases larger than, antidepressant medications and psychotherapy. Well, psychotherapy can't work because it'll never fix the problem, because they, right out of the gate, they don't know what the problem is. They don't understand the fall. They don't understand brokenness. They don't understand sinfulness. They don't understand the distinction between the mind and the brain. Furthermore, they don't have the mind of Christ. How can they help people? They can't. Why we keep sending our church folk to secular therapists is a mysterion. See what I did right there? The mystery. Exercise produced an effect of, I don't know what the rankings are either, but you'll get the point. Exercise produced an effect of minus 0.61 for depression. Minus 0.61. The authors note, this magnitude matches or exceeds effect sizes from antidepressant research, which is a 0.36. So in other words, aerobic exercise helped more than antidepressants and even more than psychotherapy. This was done by James Cook University in Australia. By the way, Jimmy, you'll never guess who FaceTimed with me on set. You know where I was on Saturday? I think maybe it was, it was Thursday. What day is it? Who am I? Why am I here? We were in Tennessee.
Right.
We were driving through a small town. That's not hard to imagine because they're all pretty much small towns, except Memphis and Nashville. Now, there's another one in Tennessee that's kind of big. Do you know what it is?
Knoxville?
That's the one right there.
Chattanooga?
Chattanooga's not huge.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think of that as like small to medium-sized town. Does Chattanooga have 200,000?
I do not know.
I don't know. Nevertheless, it was like we're in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. Ken Ham FaceTimes.
Oh.
He's in Australia is where he is. He was with Emile Zwain.
Hmm.
Oh, you put the two of those together. Oh, AIG. If they stay together too long, AIG is going to have their scientists study what created that black hole that mysteriously appeared in Australia when Ken Ham and Emile Zwain get together. This study happened at James Cook University in Australia. Ken was all snooty about Australia, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And talking about how great of a country it is, I had to remind him about the gold medal standings at the Olympics. We abruptly lost our connection. Young adults between 18 and 30 saw the biggest improvements, with exercise producing strong symptom reductions in the younger age group. No. You mean it's healthy for kids to exercise? Shut up. That's impossible. That's what moms used to say. That can't possibly be right because they're moms. New mothers also experience benefits from exercise. It's the stuff that gets your heart pumping. It helps people with postpartum depression. And when I say people, I mean women. Exercise programs designed for women after giving birth, produce strong symptom reductions without any of the concerns of medication and breastfeeding. What a shocker. People who exercised with others experienced even bigger improvements than solo exercisers. Wait a second. You mean doing stuff in community is even better for you? No way. What book would possibly recommend that? Oh, yeah, the Bible. Supervised programs also beat unsupervised ones. There's got to be an analogy to the church here someplace. You got yourself doing life together. The supervisor, well, let's just call that the pastor. What I'm saying is go to church and you won't be depressed. And actually, that isn't a joke. It's not a joke. If you're not in community, that can lead to the blues. It really can. Please find yourself a good Bible teaching church. Don't just start attending on Sunday morning. Dive into that bad boy and get to know all of those people and seriously do life together. Here's this last quote from the exercise antidepressant study. Despite solid evidence, exercise remains underused in clinical practice. Jimmy, if I recommend somebody exercises, how much kickback do I get from the exercise industry? Oh, I don't get any. I'm sorry. Let me get back to the article. Many mental health professionals lack training in exercise prescription. They couldn't study it or anything. You know, how could they possibly understand exercise? And they don't feel confident recommending specific programs, but they'll write you a prescription for a medication they don't know what it does to your brain. Furthermore, healthcare systems don't have clear pathways for referring patients to exercise programs the way they can write a prescription. Ah, what do you know? Money is the motivator. Knock me over with a feather. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.